Justice without mercy is cruelty, but mercy without justice is the mother of all dissolution. Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adrian, here with the man who uses sulfuric acid as mouthwash.
I'm Ramon.
Smell fresh, Ramon.
Thanks. That just doesn't sound pleasant.
I never said it was pleasant, but it's tough. You know what else is tough?
Our scripture today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand.
Delicious. That didn't sound right. Let's bring it in.
Delicious.
That's a lot better. Okay. Let's get going. This is the last episode in our series titled
Fear Not.
And this one, we didn't really get too creative. We titled this one
Divine Mercy.
Yes, we did. Indeed. So let's get right to it. I wanted to talk about divine mercy. Because we've been talking about stuff. Stuff that matters. Stuff that points to the fact that you are dangerous.
But good.
And you're not dangerous nor good just because you are who you are. But because God made you to be like that. And when you're cooperating with God's grace, you are a dangerous man. And you can do it. Why? Because you can get discouraged. And we don't want you to get discouraged. But since you're going to get discouraged anyway, you might as well hear some positivity. And when we get discouraged, when we fail, there is mercy, there is light, there is compassion, but there's also justice. That quote at the beginning from St. Thomas Aquinas, I love that one. Because I feel that you know, just as a married person, when it comes to the disciplining of children, for the most part, mothers tend to be a little bit too merciful. So much that it takes away from disciplining, you know? There's nothing learned if you're just going to be coddled. But at the same time, if you bring in too much justice, it's also counterproductive. Because then the child that's being disciplined only grows to be fearful of doing the wrong thing if he or she gets caught. So that really doesn't form good character in someone. That's why we need both. But we can't just come in and rule with an iron fist. That's just cruel. But if we just rule with mercy and take away all sense of justice to give to each their due, basically, that's how everything falls apart. That's why I like what St. Thomas Aquinas said. So we need a good balance. We need to become more merciful if we're too much on the justice side. There's nothing wrong with having a strong sense of justice, but you gotta take it down a notch if you're a little too violent, you know? If you're a little too stern, if you're a little too much to either extreme.
This becomes more apparent as we get older, you know, as me and you get older. And I'm pretty sure that the listeners are they're a more mature crowd. Not necessarily that they're older, but the hearts and the minds are more than likely far ahead than their peers. That being said, I'm gonna retell a story that I told in a podcast a while back, just kind of like a summary. One time I was at work, I had to use the toilet, the restroom, and there was a guy, he knocked really, really hard, and then I was like, oh, it's occupied. Knocked again, I was like, hey, it's occupied, but I'll hurry up. And then he knocked a third time, and then he said, you better come out here, or something to that extent. And then I said, hey, behave yourself, act like an adult. And then he was quiet, and then I heard the footsteps, like, basically with a tail between his legs. No, not because I'm tough or because I'm super macho. It's just like, oh, shoot, yeah, like, I need to settle down, you know? Like he was in no position of power. It's just like, and I try to be merciful. Whatever. That was more of a, like, an opener to this story because it's just kind of funny to bring it back.
I remember that one.
This happened at work too, but this was years ago. As I've said before in the podcast, when I started working for this company, I started catching shoplifters. There's this one time when I was trying to convince somebody else to do the right thing, you know. I wasn't really loud ever when it came to dealing with people, but people used to get really loud with me. I don't know. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but maybe they were trying to intimidate or whatever, probably. And I just remained really cool, but I was very stern. And this particular person was, I don't think they were right in the head, because they were saying a lot of crazy things. And then this person, I don't want to say they spit on my face, but it got some on my face. And it wasn't just like you're talking and then you spray. It's like full on, like, loogie, like. Ugh. And there was a witness there, like a store associate. They were there, and then so they started getting like really like scared and angry at the same time. They started saying things, and I was like, no, like, just please. And I was talking to this person. I was like, look, you're not gonna get away with this. There are two options. We have cameras here. And if you have a record, or if you have an ID with the DMV, you're going to get found. And this technically counts as an assault, which I don't know if that's true, but, you know.
They don't need to know that.
But that's what I told them. And I don't want to press charges on you, but I do need you to do the right thing. So he left the bags. He was taking bags of a bunch of expensive stuff, like skincare stuff. Hmm. And he left the bags. And then as he was leaving, I was like, look, you have dignity. You have a lot of dignity, and you just proved to yourself right now and to me that good person still lives inside of you, because you left this behind, because you know what is right. You know what, no, I didn't say what is just, but he knows what is just. You know, I told him, you know what is right, so take care. And he just looked at me like I was some sort of alien. Like, I just spit in this guy's face. There's mercy. You know, like I said, as I get older, like, a lot of this stuff becomes more clear. You know, like in scripture says, leave room for the wrath, because vengeance is mine. And that's what the Lord says. Not Ramon or Adrian. That's what the Lord says. So it is right and just that we have divine mercy.
You know, I like to take what you say very seriously and then turn everything into a joke. And it's final exam time, and, well, actually, final exams are over, but as a teacher, I love walking around with my stacks of final exams, and as I'm walking through the hallways, I'm just singing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. The students just look at me like, Garcia,
is losing it.
How dare you? But it's karma. And I mean it in the sense that I talked about it last week, in that you're in control of your future, man. Like, you got this, you know, like, whether it's for the good or for worse, you know, you have control over your own destiny. If you did what I told you to do, if you studied what I gave you to study, then you're going to do fine. That being said, I like to just mess around and sing that song as I walk through the hallways, and, oh man, it's probably going to sound horrible because I don't like to hear my own voice. That's a lie. I have a beautiful voice.
The most beautiful voice.
A lot of people are saying that.
The smartest minds are saying that.
Indeed. And man, this is why no one can take us seriously. But there's something about mercy, you know? Like, I'm blessed that I work in a Catholic school, because we get to start class with a prayer. And students get into it, especially as final exams approach. And they appreciate it when I throw one of the intentions. I say that teachers may be kind and merciful, especially as final exams approach. And may students do their due diligence. And so there's those two things that I was talking about earlier. There's the justice, and then there's the mercy. You know, and we hope that we get what we deserve, and that what we deserve is something good because we put in our right effort. And then we pray for mercy because, you know, hopefully if we're ever at a spot where we're like at an 89.5%, that the teacher just looks at that and it's like, all right, they weren't complete jerks. Let's bump them up a little bit. It's not that we are merciful in and of ourselves. It's kind of like we were talking about last week. You can do it. Why can you do it? Because God is there strengthening you. You know, and one of the reasons, the whole reason for this podcast existing is for us to build community amongst men that are, we're not black belts. We're not special ops guys. We're not bodybuilders. We're not even holier than you. You know, we're not here assuming that we're so tough and that's why we're qualified to lead you. We are firm believers in the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, St. Mother Teresa, who said that God does not choose the qualified, but he qualifies the chosen. And I'm not saying that if you're a black belt, you shouldn't be having a podcast or a radio show. As a matter of fact, Bear Wozniak has a black belt. He's a pretty dang good leader. And there's a bunch of other people who are really well qualified who happen to have those extra manly looking degrees, you know, or qualifications. Mm-hmm. We're just the relatable kind because, you know, we like to joke around. We like to not pretend that we're something we're not. We like to admit that we screw up from time to time. And that's unfortunately all the time. But we're also the ones that are trying to get back up and trying to reach that degree of holiness that God might recognize us as one of his own. You know, and that's the thing, you know, we're always falling, we're always failing, and God loves us anyway. Why? That's beyond me. But I was talking to you, Ramon, yesterday, mm-hmm, about St. Faustina and how,
yep,
how God gave her that little glimpse of all the evil that was happening in the world. And it might have just been like a split second or however much she could handle. And she was so broken down by all the evil that she saw that was happening in the world at that particular point in time, that she just looks at God and says, how could you ever love us? And that affected me so much that I started looking up at the evils of the world. And if anyone knows anything about good and evil, are the greatest generation, the ones that fought World War II, because there was some serious evil happening. You know, whether you're learning about the atomic bomb or the stuff that came beforehand, the stuff that led up to it, like Unit 731, or I even forget the other thing that I don't even want to remember. I didn't even finish listening to a podcast about the atrocities of World War II, but I was listening and I was paying attention to those things, and I was bringing to mind the horrible happenings of this world that I've already heard about, and all the evil things that human beings are capable of. And this whole message of divine mercy, of God's divine mercy, is too good to be true. Because you look at all the crap that's happening, you know? Just looking at the crap that happens in my own heart, I think about these things and I'm like, dude, like, how can God ever love me? And I look at all the evil that happens, like, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to be created. We don't deserve any of the good things that we have. I mean, just the relationship with God, we were talking about that earlier. It's like, we only look for him when we need him. And we want to call ourselves friends of God. We got nothing, man. Like, all this that we get is really because God is truly merciful. I remember Dr. Scott Hahn saying that God is not fair. And it caught me kind of by surprise. I'm like, what do you mean God is not fair? He's the fairest. The smartest people are saying that.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. And he's like, no, God is not fair. And that's a good thing. Because what would be of us if he were? The thing is that God's mercy is bigger than my hangups. God's mercy is bigger than your hangups. bigger than your inability to forgive yourself for something that you've done. It's bigger than whatever example or analogy I could come up with. Last time I kind of diminished the saying, you know, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. But it's true, man. Like, we really need to internalize that, because not all of us have a situation, like I mentioned last time, where one of our kids has stage 4 cancer. But we all have problems. And if we bring them to God, good things are going to happen. And I don't mean, like I said, you know, superstition. Like, we bring them up to God and God solves our problems. It means that we, if we put, like Ramon says all the time, legs on our prayers, then things are going to be good. Why? Because you're dangerous. Why? Because you can do it. Why? Because God is with you and God is merciful.
So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferro.
Aquitur.
Alright guys, I know it got a little dark, so I don't want to end that note. Hopefully we didn't end in a dark note. I just do want to encourage you to give us a 5-star review. Because I haven't encouraged you to do that in a long time.
Okay guys, bye.